Good morning. This is a beautiful Sunday. Please get your devices and turn them off. And if you can, get your friendship sheets at the end of the pew, sign them and pass them down as we listen to Kathy's prelude. Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful. Good morning once again. Cannot believe it is October. I mean, this summer just went, I don't even know if we had a summer, I tell you. It went so fast. Announcements. Today is World Communion Sunday. So today will be by an intinction. You will come forward. There will be different breads here with different drinks. You can dip in whatever you like. If you do not want to come forward, they will have elders going down the sides and serving you. Pumpkins come Wednesday. Unbelievable. So if you haven't signed up yet, make sure you get to the big board outside the door. Sign up. There's lots of things you can do. If you can't help with the unload the pumpkin, there's pie making, there's just sitting and selling the pumpkins. There's a lot of fun things you can do, so please sign up. Today is also the commission mission dinner afterwards, so if you purchased a ticket, we'll be serving lunch right afterwards. And right now, Mike Ward has an announcement.
Thank you, Pam. It is October, but I do not have an orange shirt on because I'm not in charge of the pumpkin patch this year. However, I think we ought to thank those that put out pallets yesterday. It went really well, I felt. If you were one that put out pallets yesterday, would you please stand up and be recognized? I know there's more than just Nick. Thank you. Actually, I have a couple more announcements. One, the Boy Scouts are selling popcorn. It's winding down, but if you are looking to help out the Scouts with their fundraising, see Christoph Atkinson, the Holly Brothers, but I must tell you that if you go talk to Zach Hawley, he is a salesman deluxe, and he will put just about any door-to-door vacuum salesman to shame. because he does a very excellent job doing Stupak selling. And I am also selling, but I'm at a big disadvantage because it's more fun to buy it from the little guys. And so I have some help. I usually use my grandson that's 5 years old. Anyhow, if you're looking for popcorn, we are using a new company this year, and it's much better popcorn. The last announcement I have is on the 28th of October, we're going to do the pie contest again. It will be in the afternoon, so you can actually bake your pie Saturday morning, or pies, plural, and Saturday morning, and bring them to the church around 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, and we will judge them then. And then we'll have pie on Sunday morning after church. There will be an extra category this year. It will be a nut pie, because we had some pecan pies last year, and they're not really cream pies, and they're not really should be judged with a pumpkin pie. So we're going to have a nut pie, and for the high school kids, high school age, no, we're not going to have a pizza pie contest. So mark it on your calendar. We are also looking for some judges. I know that Dennis Baker back there is quite a pie connoisseur, and I've already put a bug in his ear to check his calendar. But we're looking for about five or six judges. So if you're so inclined, let me know and we'll get you on the list. Thank you.
Also coming up next Sunday, if you have a pet and you would like to bring it to the church around 2 o'clock, we're going to have blessings of the pets. And so it's always fun to see who brings their pets. We always bring our turtle, but we have a dog this year, so I think we'll have a turtle and a dog this year. So that'll be fun. And the craft fair is on the 21st, so if you need any information on that, get a hold of Carmen Goodman and come and look at the neat things. They had a really nice turnout last year, so hopefully this year will be the same. And then the pie eating contest. So I think that is it. If you would, let's all stand and shake hands with one another. If you see somebody you don't know, please introduce yourself. And then afterwards, we're going to sing song number 485, Diverse in Culture, Nation, Race. We should put a couple pies in. I think we should do it. Let's do it.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. I wish we had a cookie eating contest because I make my pumpkin one. I'm saying if there's a cookie contest too.
You know what? We could almost do that pumpkin.
The pumpkin butterscotch?
Yeah. Or make a pumpkin pie and put chocolate chip and butterscotch in it.
That sounds good.
We could do one plain pumpkin pie and then the
deluxe.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Yeah. You gotta do this. Yeah. It's gonna be too much fun. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because your party's already a week ahead, so.
Yeah. Well, this is the 28th. This is 2 weeks after my birthday. Mm-hmm. We'll have plenty of time.
We'll have plenty of time. Yeah. So
and we'll have plenty of time to make different pies and see if.
Join me in the call to worship. From snow-capped peaks of the Himalayas to the plains on the Serengeti, from lush green vineyards
to fields bright with golden wheat,
in the eyes of youth and the wisdom of those who have journeyed long,
the mystery of your glory is revealed.
Your glory is over the earth, and we bless your holy name. With joyous shouts and whispered prayers, we bless your holy name. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings in our lives. We as Christians are asked to be compassionate, giving, and forgiving at all times. In these times of trouble around our world, we ask for your guidance to help us help those in need, though we do not know them or see them. But we do want to help them. Help us be as compassionate as you were to all, as we say the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. I invite you to turn in the hymnal to page 387. As we sing this song of praise and prayer together, we reflect on the gift of World Communion Sunday, a time when Christians all over the world share communion together and are aware of the ecumenical nature of the body of Christ. Let us reflect on what it means to love Jesus as world citizens as we sing Bread of the World. invite the children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. Good morning. Come all the way up on the top step today. Usually we sit, but there's a table in the way this morning, so we're going to talk about how things look a little different today. First, I want you to look at all the coffee mugs up here on the table. Do you see all these different mugs? Come up close. They're different colors and different patterns. Last weekend, the women of our church were at a women's retreat. We had 14 ladies attend. And part of the registration, when they first got there, someone said, welcome. They told them their name. And then they said, pick out a mug. So all of our ladies picked out a mug. And it turns out that there were match sets of 4 matching mugs of all different kinds of mugs. And you ended up sitting at the table with people who had picked your same mug. So look, there's 3 of these striped mugs. That means 3 of our ladies were at the same table with somebody from another church. What else do you see? Are there other mugs that are the same? There's some blueberries. How many blueberry mugs are there? 1, 2, 3. And then there's some cat mugs. How many cat mugs are up here?
1, 2.
And then there's 1 blue mug and 1 yellow mug. So whatever lady brought her yellow mug to share today and whatever woman brought her blue mug to share, that means they were at a table with 3 other people with that mug from 3 different churches. So they got to know different people. You know, it's really fun at church. We get to know people who are different than us and people who are the same as us. And even people who are very, very different from us, when they love Jesus and we love Jesus, it's like we're family and we all belong to each other, even though we're different. That's kind of the nature of World Communion Sunday. Here at First Christian, we have communion together every week. But there are some churches where they only do that once a month, once a quarter, just a few times during the year. But on the first Sunday of October, everybody in all different kinds of churches, they all have communion on the same day. So we call it World Communion Sunday. That's why we have this special table. Why don't you all come over here and look at this little table? Tell me what you notice about the bread on the table. It's all different kinds. It's all different kinds. It's different colors, and it's different textures. I think it's even different flavors. Does anyone want to taste a little piece of bread?
Yeah?
Yeah? You can pick one. Here, pick one little piece right here. You want to take one little piece of bread?
Yeah.
What color of bread do you want to taste?
Down.
This one or this one? This one. It's not chocolate. It's just brown bread. It looks like chocolate. When we have bread in worship, it's a very special thing because it reminds us of God's love. And usually we wait until our children are old enough to be baptized before they have communion. But today's a special day, and I think it's fine for you to have a taste of bread on World Communion Sunday. How about we join hands and we share in a prayer together? Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for all the different flavors of bread in the world. And all the different colors of people, all the different skills and gifts that people have, all the different languages that we speak. And Lord, we thank you that even with all of our diversity, in you we are called to be one. Bless the Church Universal today. Bless all your children. In God's name we pray. Amen. You all can head to worship and wonder with Miss Tricia today. As our children head out for their class and a special time of worship, I invite you to look on the back of the bulletin at a list of prayer concerns. As we share prayers for these people who are in need in different ways in their lives, I encourage you to write a prayer card to someone. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find a postcard that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. And then later in the service, you can bring that card forward with you and place it in one of the offering trays by the front pew. This morning, our card shower is for Marie Hinthorn. Marie will be celebrating her 90th birthday. And we are rejoicing with her and celebrating with her family. In addition to a prayer card, if you would like to buy a birthday card and mail it to Marie, her address is on one of the inserts in the bulletin. Prayers this week for David Riedel, who has been in the hospital. He had blood clots in his lungs. The doctors are treating that with Coumadin. It will be a little while before he's able to return back to work. So please continue to pray for David. We think of all of those who are living with cancer and other long-term illnesses, those who are recovering from surgery and facing health concerns. As we pray for the world around us today, we lift up the missionary Scott Nicholson, who serves in Mexico, and we pray for the people of Mexico recovering from a severe earthquake. We pray also for all of those rebuilding from hurricanes along the Gulf Coast and Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands and Florida and elsewhere. Our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of South Broadway Christian Church in Denver. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign on your way out today to send greetings to them. Are there others this morning that we want to lift up in prayer? Tom. Prayers for Van Galloway, struggling with a back injury.
This morning in the paper, I noticed that one of the long-term facilities is having to lose their special needs unit. That's going to affect a lot of families.
Prayers for those in our community impacted by the closing of a special needs unit. Madison. Prayers for Madison as she has physical therapy on her knee. Pam.
Prayers for my ex-husband, Jim Regan. He had some lymph nodes tested in his neck. Waiting for results on that. They found a spot on his liver. And unfortunately, his family has all passed away previously from cancer. So prayers for him and for Tristan to not be anxious.
Prayers of peace for Jim Regan and for Tristan as he's undergoing cancer testing. Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for an Army buddy of mine that his name is Bruce Wiederhoff, and he's stayed connected with me for 30 years or since I got out of the Army, and he's got stage 4 prostate cancer. And pray for
prayers for Bruce Wiederhoff, who has stage 4 cancer, an Army buddy from 30 years ago. Rick. Prayers for dear Betty Black as she struggles with memory and health issues. She has been in the memory care unit at Life Care up on Poplar, and that will need to be adjusted in the future. We're glad for now that she can stay at Life Care, and we pray for good care opportunities for her moving forward. Becky. What's his name?
Landon.
Prayers for Becky Foster's nephew, Landon, who is 21 years old and is having serious heart issues. Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Most holy and gracious God, your people are diverse in culture, nation, and race, yet we share in common your amazing love. It is with your love in our hearts, O Christ, this day, that we pray for one another and for all in the world who are in need. We rejoice with Marie and her family as she celebrates 90 years of life on this earth. We thank you that she's home from the nursing home, and we pray for a good celebration. Lord, we ask you to watch over Dave Riedel. As he struggles to breathe and regain his health, bless him with healing. We pray for Van Galloway in back pain. For Madison as she has physical therapy on her knee. For Jim Regan, awaiting news of testing from lymph nodes and a liver biopsy. God, we pray that the news is good and there is not cancer. But if there is, Lord, we pray for successful treatment. And in whatever the future holds, Lord, we pray for peace for Jim and for his daughter, Tristan. Lord, we lift to you prayers for Bruce Wiederhoff, who's been diagnosed with stage four cancer. We pray for others who live fighting cancer, struggling for health. Lord, we thank you for oncologists, for doctors and researchers who continue to strive to find ways to end this disease. Lord, be with Becky's nephew, Landon. Help his heart to beat strong and sure. Bless him with physical healing and bless his spirit with the healing presence of your peace. Lord, we pray for Betty Black and for others in our community affected by the news of a memory unit closing. Oh God, we know that providing care to those who live with Alzheimer's and dementia is a huge challenge. And so we thank you for people who give their lives to this work. We pray for families who serve as caregivers and support. And we pray for those who are afflicted by their memories fading. Lord, we ask your blessing upon each one. We thank you, God, for the gift of the world in which we live. For the beauty of your presence in creation in every season. And for the beauty of your love revealed among people in near and distant lands. Oh God, bless the work of Scott Nicholson and Los Discípulos de Cristo in Mexico. Be with those who are recovering from earthquakes and hurricanes. We pray especially for the people of Puerto Rico who are still struggling to survive, to find clean water, to rebuild transportation, communication, and have electricity again on their island. Lord, there are so many in need around the world. We pray for all who are struggling in different ways, from natural disasters and refugee crises. We thank you, God, for the work of Week of Compassion that allows us as disciples to respond in specific ways when needs arise. We pray your blessing upon our partners throughout the Central Rocky Mountain region, especially this day, those who are members of South Broadway Christian Church in Denver. Holy and gracious God, there are prayers that we have in our hearts that we haven't yet figured out how to put into words. So we thank you for listening to our unspoken prayers, as well as those that we share aloud. Oh God, thank you when we pray for the certainty of knowing that you hear and respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our reading today is Philippians 2, 1 through 13, that can be found on page 197 of the Pew Bible. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make it my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you always have obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work with you and in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Thank you, Belle, and thank you, choir, for that gift of music. Thank you, Kathy, for playing for us today. We are blessed this morning to have a guest in our midst. The Reverend Joe Hendrickson comes to us from Kansas. His journey to Casper took a while. Yesterday, he got up at 3 in the morning and headed out to the airport. It was an hour and a half drive to Kansas City, and then a flight to Denver, and then driving up here. So we are glad that he made it. Joe is a new member of the Week of Compassion staff. He started just before General Assembly in July. He is the director of Disciples Development, which means he gets to travel to disciple congregations across the U.S. and Canada and share the good news of the work of Week of Compassion. Joe and his wife had a busy summer as their son got married the same place where they were married several years ago. His son got married at the chapel at TCU, and Joe had the privilege of officiating. So when we were getting acquainted yesterday, he shared that highlight of life with me. And this morning, Joe, we are so thrilled to welcome you to the pulpit. We appreciate the sharing you've already had at First Service and in Sunday School, and we look forward to hearing you again briefly at the lunch today. So Joe will be reading our second passage of Scripture this morning, Matthew 21. Welcome.
Well, thank you for the invitation to be here, Cynthia, and your hospitality at your home. I've got a very comfortable room there, and it's very nice. I want to thank all of you for your generosity and your compassion, your passion for Week of Compassion. It's great for us to hear of congregations that take that ministry seriously, because it does do a lot of good for people around the country and around the world. I bring you greetings today from our general minister and president, Terry Horde Owens, and also from our executive director for Week of Compassion, V. Nguyen, and our associate director, Caroline Arnold Hamilton. We're in the midst of a very busy time, as you can imagine. There's been an awful lot going on. This has been a delight for me to be able to get out of Dodge, so to speak, although it was actually Topeka, and be here and enjoy such a nice welcome and to see all of your faces. The gospel reading today comes from the 21st chapter of Matthew, where we encounter this story about Jesus. When he entered into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Jesus continued, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Do you ever get up on a Sunday morning, maybe even get as far as the church parking lot, maybe even plop down in your seat here, and wonder to yourself, "What am I doing here? I come to this strange place with vaulted ceilings and strange decorations, colored windows, uncomfortable seats." Although I understand from some folks that they're better than the ones at the swimming meet yesterday. I come here to do these strange things. I sing a few songs, which I don't do anyplace else in my life, mostly songs from the 19th century. I come and I hear other music. I hear bells like Quasimodo did when he was at Notre Dame Cathedral in the 15th century, or we bow our heads and we actually seem to act as if we hear voices responding to our pleas. We come here and we listen to stories that are 2,000 years old, 3,000, sometimes even 4,000 years old. We come here and make believe that we all gather around this table to share a meal, one that wouldn't fill up the left cheek of a skinny squirrel. I have those days too. And that's when I have to remind myself how it's all about the symbolism. I don't think it should probably surprise any of us that food and meals can be highly symbolic. Your family may be much like mine. The difference between the cuisines of my wife's family, the Graff family, and my family, the Hendrickson family, they're worlds apart in some ways. My wife was raised in Texas. Her family were all lifelong Texans. So when it comes to Thanksgiving Day, and we sit down, the argument is, do we have the Graff family cornbread dressing, or do we have the Hendrickson family oyster dressing? Bobby's family was raised, they didn't have turkey. They always had roasted chicken. We always had turkey. In her family, they always had a green Jell-O salad. In my family, it was always a green pistachio salad. And so when we pass the food around the table, we don't talk about pass me the bread or pass me the gravy. We'd say, pass me some of Grandma's dinner rolls. Pass me some of Nanny's gravy. Pass me some of Dad's old celery hearts that he loves so much. And don't forget to get a piece of Aunt Laura's pie. We bring those people long dead to come and sit with us at the table. This meal becomes symbolic. I wonder if something like that is the way out of our brokenness. This inner turmoil that we alienation that sets our communities on edge, or the cracks of race and wealth that are affecting our national melting pot, not the kind of things that deflates footballs, but deflates friendships, the fractured lives in earthquakes, in floods, in hurricanes, and fires. What if the way out of our brokenness, out of our world's brokenness, is to come together at somebody else's table? World Communion Sunday. Now we come to another person's table. We come here because this is Jesus' table. It's not our table. And just like the symbolic table at Thanksgiving at my house, this is a symbolic table. The people of faith of yesterday and today are gathered here in love. The symbolism at this table might not be exactly what you think it is. Of course, it's Jesus. I think we all would probably agree that we expect that Jesus appears here with us in the broken bread and the cup. But when I look at this table, what I see is my mother, who was always the deaconess in charge of communion on World Communion Sunday in the church that I was raised in. And she would go in on Saturday, and I would tag along, and my sister would come along, and she would stand there with a loaf of Wonder Bread already sliced, take her electric knife and cut off the crust on all four sides, and then go down, 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 then flip it down, 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 and end up with these perfectly shaped cubes of white Wonder Bread that spread out on tea towels for the rest of Saturday and Saturday night. And when we arrived on Sunday morning to put them in the plates, they were like little crouton kind of things. And that became our bread. Or my sister, who on Sunday morning wanted to help fill the cups, which was always the first spilling of the cups. I remember the white embroidered cloth that we used at the church that I grew up in that covered the bread that covered the chalice as well. They had been made by my kindergarten teacher, Ruth Landine. There's a fancy theological word for all this remembering that we do. It's called anamnesis. And it really has to do with that moment in communion when we look to the table and see that phrase that is written right across the front. This do in remembrance of me. We bring the past into our present so that it can guide our future. That's what we do. And it's not for us disciples, at least. It's not just on World Communion Sunday. We come back and we do it every week, bringing the past to bear on our present to make our future what we hope it will be. I think this text from Matthew is all about remembering. I think it's about that question that I always heard my wife say to our children as they went out the door to go to school every morning. She said, "Remember who you are." We hear Jesus asking about somebody that he remembers, his cousin. He says, "Who do you think John the Baptist was?" But the whole interchange is actually asking this broader question, and it reflects this deep divide of Jesus' time and of ours. The leaders ask Jesus first, "Who do you think you are?" And Jesus basically comes right back at him and says, "Who do you think you are?" Then Jesus says, "What do you think?" And he tells this story about these two sons and the contrast between what they say and what they do. What if the way out of our brokenness, out of our forgetting who we are, has to do with coming together at this table, somebody else's table, not our own? When you participate in the week of compassion, you're helping actually to set a table, to set not your own table, but to set somebody else's table. You might be providing food. You might be providing clean water. You might be fixing a leaky roof, or you might be fixing a leaky stove, or you might be filling the family doctor's hands with medicine and bandages. Who knows where it might end up? But when you do, you're saying, "I remember who I am. This is it. This is who I am. I am a Christian, and I sit at another's table." On this World Communion Sunday, maybe we can see ourselves gathered around the table as one family. In spite of all the many differences that we share, I'm sure within this congregation, maybe even within our own families at home, certainly within our community, within our nation, within our world, but in spite of all of the ways that we can look at the brokenness of ourselves and of our world, maybe we can take a moment to find unity and compassion in the gift of another with a capital A, who was also broken for us. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. So this morning, we are invited to sit at a table that doesn't belong to us. We're invited to sit at a table that belongs to Jesus. This morning, when we bring our offering, it's a way of remembering who we are, whose we are. In addition to your weekly tithes and offerings and the prayer cards that you're invited to bring forward, you may also choose today to write an additional check or put an additional bill or two into an envelope and designate it for a week of compassion. That money will be used where it is needed most, to help someone perhaps who doesn't even have food on their table, to help someone whose table was washed away or crushed in an earthquake. When we reach out to others in compassion, it is as if we're sitting down at table with them, wherever they may be, and sharing the feast of God's love. This morning, we will sing together, "Unto Your Table, Lord." It's number 421 in the Chalice Hymnal. It's a song that comes to us originally written in Spanish, though we will sing it in English. Singing is a time to prepare our hearts to welcome to this table the one who is already here, the one who owns it, the one who gave his own body and blood to become for us the bread and the cup. After we sing, you're invited to come forward by the center aisle and choose a flavor of bread from the table and dip it in the cup and partake, and then return to your pew by the side aisle. If you have difficulty walking or if it's more meaningful for you to stay in your pew and reflect without moving, then communion will be brought to you. Here at First Christian, the Lord's table is open to all who believe in Jesus, to all who long for God's love. Let's prepare to find our place at the Lord's table by singing "Hasta Tu Altar," number 421. When kids head out the door to school and mom says, "Remember who you are," it's an implicit instruction to do the things that they know are right. When we do what we're supposed to do, we remember who we are. When we break bread and share it with someone who's hungry, we are doing God's love. We are putting compassion into action. When we break bread, Whether it is a huge, fluffy, freshly baked loaf, or dried out, perfectly cut squares of Wonder Bread, commercially made wafers, or a tortilla ripped in half. When we break bread in Jesus' name at Jesus' table, we remember, we reassemble the members, the parts of Christ's body. The broken bread becomes whole in us. And we who are broken, somehow in the mystery and grace of God, become a little bit more whole. We remember who we are. As we come to the table, we remember the conversation Jesus had with his friends in the upper room. When he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you as a new covenant, a new promise, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat Jesus' bread, each time we drink the cup of life, we remember, we do, we become God's love made real for the world. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Our Father, this cup and bread reminds us of the stuff of our everyday lives, our work, our preparation of meals, our activities, and our obligations. Help us to see more in it this day than merely flour and milk. In the meaning of this moment, may it hold for us the presence of him who said, "I am the bread of life," and may our everyday living be transformed. Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give your whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Following worship today, we are having a special luncheon as a fundraiser for the Week of Compassion. For those of you who have purchased tickets, I hope you put in your reservation ahead of time indicating if you wanted chicken or pork. Dinner will be served downstairs in Fellowship Hall. But before we serve lunch, we want a chance just for everyone to have an opportunity to greet one another. There is plenty of coffee made, whether you're staying for lunch or not. If you would like a cup of coffee or a glass of water, a cookie to nourish you on the way, we hope that you will visit with members of the church downstairs in Fellowship Hall following the service. A reminder, pumpkins come Wednesday, Blessing of the Beast next Sunday afternoon. October is a fun, exciting, busy time around here at First Christian, and we are honored to have everyone who chooses to participate, whether you're a member, a preschool family, or a visitor to the church. We are blessed by your presence here in worship and in ministry during the week. This morning at chapel, I was supposed to welcome into membership Terry and George Morrison. I am so excited that they have decided to become associate members of the congregation, and I have to give the confession and mea culpa to the congregation that I was already thinking ahead about Joe being at Sunday school and lunch getting fixed. I didn't call them up, and so we're doing that next Sunday. But it may be that there's somebody here this morning at this service who wants to join church, and you haven't told me, or maybe you told me and I forgot. So if that's the case, I want you to jump up and come down while we sing our hymn of dedication today. We will be singing together, Called as Partners in Christ's Service, number 453. Thank you.
called together as partners in Christ's service, filled with compassion for each other and for all the world. Go in peace. Go with Christ. Amen. Thank you.